Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are into the low season around here. The Ravens have been eliminated. We will continue on talking democracy here, spring training and other things, Terps as well, as we get going. But I want to welcome Jeff Moeller on from Moeller & Gary Realty. You are familiar with his father, Don, who was my one-time guidance counselor. How old were you in August of 1982 when I met your father? I'm always unaware.
Six.
You were six. See, it felt like you and I were 100 years apart, but as we get older, we're sort of the same age now, I think. Sort of.
Absolutely. Well, I got older. You just stayed the same.
Well, I'm trying to stay young. These off seasons will get me, and you know, insurrections and things like that. But I wanted to talk some housing with you, because I've talked to Don about the real estate market and what you do. And I saw a report first week of the year that said that the housing market in Baltimore not as bad as maybe the perception would be of a guy who's tried to sell his condo and couldn't 2 years ago and will be back after this year with you. But I do want to talk some football with you before we get to democracy or any of the rest of the stuff, because you do follow this and you had a long prescription for the Ravens that you put out on Facebook on Sunday. And I thought, you know what, this is the week I'm going to bring Jeff on to talk some football. I think we're all disappointed by this, but I begin with this. I never thought they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. Certainly not after the Kansas City game sort of made me think about that in September. And then they slid down the hill a little bit at the end of October. And I've not believed since the Ronnie Stanley injury that they were going to win the Super Bowl. So I don't stand nearly as disappointed. I am disappointed that they went to Buffalo on a night when they could win, that they were on the 9-yard line, that Lamar had the fatal flaw and Dobbins didn't make a block. But the prescription for how they lost, wah, wah, wah. But I didn't really think they were winning three games here back to back to back. I didn't think they were going to Kansas City and beating Mahomes. Who knows whether Buffalo will have to beat Mahomes this week? We'll find out. But I didn't think they were winning the Super Bowl. So I'm not bent about this, but I am wondering how they're going to put this back together and have me feel like they're going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, right, because we've seen this movie before, and I'm with you, Nestor. I thought that there were some pieces that they were missing that you see Super Bowl teams have. And I think Lamar is the wild card there, that he can make up for a lot of deficiencies on a football team. But they were still there, and they came out in the game against Buffalo. So in three playoff losses that Lamar's played in, it's been very similar, very sloppy, very ugly football. And they've been unable to put points on the board. So the question is, and I have full faith in Eric DaCosta and the Ravens, is what are you going to do so this doesn't happen again? Because now the book's out on this team in the playoffs. So they're going to have to adjust, and they're going to have to make some really hard decisions to make that happen, I believe.
Well, and the easy decisions now are you got all these guys walking, whether it's Judon at a big ticket and Ngakoue. For me, the center position, and I'm going to start the beat on this right away, because they have the 27th pick in the draft 90 days from now, whenever it is. And if they wind up taking the best center in the draft for them, I'll hear that. But I think what they structurally try to do here with Lamar and the amount of money they're going to have to give Lamar, and I said this, and this may be heresy and have at it. If Lamar Jackson were a free agent right now, who would give him $300 million and then come in and redefine their team, completely reconstruct their team based on he's a great athlete and he makes things happen and we're going to win 10 or 11 games? How are you going to win three or four games in January without being able to pass? And part of this is they're not designed to do that. They're not designed to drop back. They don't draft for that. They don't have wide receivers for that. We've talked about Stephon Diggs being, you know, that kind of guy. If they brought that receiver in, they still don't want to pass the ball. They're not the thing's not designed to, it's designed to be a sports car. It's not designed to be a sedan, right? Literally.
Well, I'll disagree a little bit with you on that one, and that is, I don't think that's on Lamar. You know, I think this is a Greg Roman issue. And when you look at Greg Roman, look, he's been an offensive coordinator for 8 seasons, 3 with the Ravens. His teams have always ranked at the bottom of the league as far as pass attempts and passing yards. So when you're saying that a guy is ranked, his offensive scheme has teams ranked 32nd in the league, and that's happened 4 times in Greg Roman's offenses. And they're always – 30 to 32, and he's been dead last four times, including this year, in pass attempts. That's a scheme issue. So is Lamar going to be Tom Brady throwing the ball? No, of course he's not. But he doesn't have to be 32nd. So I think there's a scheme issue here that is more glaring. And you're right. You can bring in Allen Robinson. You can bring in Kenny Golladay. If you're going to bring them in and keep the scheme the same, they're not going to have that impact. You know, so the scheme has to change, and I think the personnel has to change. The Ravens are really poor at drafting receivers. They're just not good at it. The best receivers that we've ever had have been free agents that we've brought in. That's their strength, and they need to stick to that. I wouldn't draft a receiver. You know, I think Hollywood's going to be okay. But if you really need a game changer, go out in free agency. You have some cap room this year and go get somebody.
Well, they tried to do that with Willie Snead, right? I mean, you know, finding guys that crack down and block is certainly 2 years ago was much more significant for them than thinking Antonio Brown or some they're going to bring in one, you know, Dez Bryant, right? I mean, like I don't think that you can be both. I you know, this notion that you're going to be a sports car that wants to run and draft linemen to do that and draft running backs to do that and have a quarterback that does that, but he's going to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball like Matt Ryan, which he's – I don't believe he's ever going to be a pocket passer, an accurate pocket passer, or that's what you're ever going to want him to do, except when you're losing by 13 points in the third quarter. Then you need him to do it, and you're better off – you're better off having Chad Henne come in and run that off. I don't think he's going to operate that kind of offense at this point. And it's quite a dilemma. And they've gone with this, and they're all in on this different type of offense that I don't think they can get out of that. And by the way, when it comes time to give him money, you know, I'm inclined that they're going to give him money. They love the kid. They love him. They act like they believe in him, like they're building like they believe in him. But the rubber's about to meet the road now, where is John Harbaugh, does he really go to bed at night thinking, I'm going to win a championship with this guy the next 3 or 4 years? Does Eric believe that? Do they really believe that? Because if they give him $300 million, we know they believe that. So I always say, what do they believe? They show you what they believe when they write contracts and when they draft football players, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think they got to decide, and to your point, is can you win a Super Bowl with them? And my answer to that is you can't win a Super Bowl with him or anybody in the current scheme, in the current system. We've seen that. It doesn't work. It's it's one-dimensional, and you can't win being one-dimensional. You just can't. I do think they can win a Super Bowl with Lamar. I think he could be nearly unstoppable, but when – you only do one thing, and you do it really well. You do it better than anybody else, but you only do one thing. Smart defensive coaches in the playoffs are going to take that away.
You're giving me a headache with the camera, Jeff.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Well, if you take that one thing away, then you're not equipped to do what you want to do to come back. You're just not equipped to do that schematically or personnel-wise. Look, they don't have the great receivers. They don't have the great passing scheme. I mean, look, you can't be ranked 32nd in the league in pass attempts and then all of a sudden expect your quarterback to throw the ball over the field when you've never done that.
Or expect ever. Orlando Brown to look like a $100 million left tackle in pass protection on third and 12, because that's not what they do. On third and 12, they pretend they're going to pass, and Lamar takes off and runs like hell and gets 13, which he did on the drive that they almost scored. Literally, he has that special thing we talk about, but that special thing we talk about is for the whole unit. Is not designed to drop back and look like John Elway's offense 30 years ago.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to. I mean, and I think that's the one thing that I think the Ravens have to decide. I've decided. Lamar doesn't have to be, you know, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, John Elway. He doesn't have – like, he's a different quarterback. And I think they can win with him.
They win a lot of games with him. They do.
And he's made some incredible throws during those wins. I mean, he made some incredible throws in the Cleveland game. He's put up a lot of points. He's capable. Is he going to be as accurate and as sharp as some of the greats? No, but his athletic ability, that's the difference maker for him. So they have to figure out, how do we use this incredible generational athlete who can also make some throws and be more balanced so other teams can't, you know, they have to pick their poison with
Jeff, Lamar, I think, right? It's more complicated than that, because I think, like, everything you're saying, all the that's why he's here. That's why he's going to be here. That's why they're going to give him $300 million. I think you need to think about, let's not talk best case scenario. Let's talk about when we're losing by 13 points on a windy night in Buffalo, how can he win that game? And I don't know that he can. You know, I don't know. And I said this in the aftermath, and I wasn't being flippant. They would lose 7 out of 10 to Buffalo. They would lose 8 out of 10 to Kansas City. Could they win? Sure. They almost won Saturday night. I mean, we can make the case that he makes a different read. Dobbins makes a block. Hollywood's open on second down. And we're playing for the AFC Championship game against Chad Henne on Sunday night. I can make that case. And there is a pathway for that. I think that's the 2 out of 10 pathway. I think most of the time, some defensive coordinator is going to clamp down when you see back-to-back-to-back good teams in bad weather in January, potentially on the road, that's the pathway in 21, 22, 23, 24, where they're going to be the next couple of years. I wonder what happens when you're losing by 13 points, because this team, I don't know that they can get up from that. I'd have to see it to believe it. Now, can they be the team that gets up by 13, and can Marlon Humphrey strip a ball, or can Marcus Peters go up and get a ball? Sure, they can have all of those things. They scored 3 points Saturday night, Jeff. They scored 3 points.
Right, but I totally agree with that. But when you look at Josh Allen, he didn't do anything either in that bad weather. You know, look, that was Joe Flacco's strength, right? Well, you could put Joe Flacco in a monsoon, and somehow he could spin the ball and make good throws. That was one of his few strengths as a passer. In bad weather, you would think Lamar's athletic ability, that is the difference maker. You know, like, you're not going to be throwing the ball. Nobody's throwing the ball all over the field in bad weather. You're going to have to run the ball and do it really well. The issue is that this scheme, it's so vanilla. You saw, I don't know if you did, but Steve Smith, you know, went on TV and said that his six-year-old could come up with a better passing scheme than what we have. So you do need a reliable passing scheme for Lamar that he can make some easy throws, and that's going to open up everything else for him. I really do think that the biggest problem we have right now is the scheme. So the question I have is, are they really going to fire Greg Roman? I don't see that happening. You know, are they going to bring in a passing game coordinator? They got to do something. I mean, look, they're smarter than I am. They have to look at the rankings and look at how unbalanced they are and look at the way that they've gone out in the playoffs and say, we got to figure out how to pass the ball. And we got to figure out if this guy can pass the ball.
They're unbalanced because they don't want to pass the ball. He's not great at it. If they had to do it all the time, if they had to just pass the ball, they wouldn't be very good. I mean, like,
If they're ranked 20th in passing, they're winning a Super Bowl. I mean, you just can't be dead last. You know, if they're middle of the road.
Dude, if Lamar makes a pass, if Dobbins makes a block, right. they're in the AFC. I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying down 13 points, if they have to throw the football, you want them to throw more. You want them to hire a passing coordinator. Luke wants them to go get a real wide receiver. And then I say, right. Well, the agent won't let the wide receiver come here because they're not going to pass well. They're going to see a better circumstance somewhere else to go get the ball more, to be in a more traditional passing offense. So finding that wide receiver, then you get that wide receiver and he doesn't block well, you know, in the scheme. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, he needs to block better. So that's one thing you never had a problem with Ray Rice. Ray Rice blocked. Mark Ingram blocked. Mark Ingram would have made that block the other night, right? So, and that is a differentiator, that when you're drafting guys to go vroom, 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 you're not necessarily drafting drop back fat daddy passing guys, and you don't have 6 foot five wide receivers to go up and get the ball, because you're just not designing an offense to do that. You're designing an offense around Gus and around running and around athleticism up on the offensive line. And Mark Andrews is that guy, right? I mean, he is the wide receiver in this offense,
but he's
right
not,
now.
But he, that's the problem, though. Look, how many tough contested catches has Mark Andrews made? I don't remember him. And I certainly don't remember him in big games. Like, he didn't make the catch in the end zone on Saturday. He didn't make that catch. And it was a tough catch. But he never makes the tough catch. He never makes the Anquan Boldin catch that in the Super Bowl that we needed to pick up that first. Yeah. Like, that's the catch. Who do we have that's going to make that catch that's going to win the Super Bowl for you? We don't have that guy. We don't. We got Hollywood who can get separation, but he's not making a contested catch. Neither is Andrews, and neither is anybody else. The best guy we have at contested catches is probably Willie Snead, and he may not even be here next year.
They don't throw him the ball. He's a perfect example of a guy they brought in to run this offense. He's not a great wide receiver. He's fine. No. Third down to get this. He's there to crack down on a safety when Lamar goes 38 yards instead of 8.
Right, but you need that weapon for Lamar. If you want to be a better passing game, you're not going to deal with the guys you got right now, and you're not going to deal with the scheme you got right now. You got to have somebody who the other team has to worry about, they can't just bring their safeties to the line of scrimmage to take away Lamar's passing lanes, because they have to worry about being beat by a really good receiver on both sides.
Well, that's what Hollywood's there to go over the top, though. That's why he's there, right?
Right, but it's just him. It's just him. There's nobody else that scares you. So, and Hollywood had a really good end of the season. They just need more.
Duvernay, two snaps Saturday night. Two snaps.
Yeah, but I got to believe that the coaches know more than us, right? I mean, I got to believe that if he was really a game changer and they thought that he was a difference maker, that he would be in there. And
yeah, same thing with Boykin, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Sure, you went and when you go out and you get Dez Bryant, who nobody wanted, and he's playing for you. To me, that just speaks volumes.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's to me. I'm like, okay, well, you have some deficiencies there, and I'm with you, Nestor. I felt like this team had just too many holes that you need: pass rusher, scheme, big time, some reliable target on the offense. They just had too many holes that they weren't really built yet to win a Super Bowl, and I can't wait to see what they do in the offseason, because you got to believe the changes are coming, right? I mean, the writing's on the wall. This doesn't work. So I'm really,
I think it's different if Stanley and Boyle are in the game. I mean, I will back up onto that and say it's $150 million worth of football player there that you didn't have, yeah, that you wanted to have, that on a windy night in Buffalo, the game would have been different the other night. I really do believe that. So I'm not as down on it as maybe I sound, but this notion that you're going to get an elite wide receiver and somehow utilize that guy, and he's still going to be able to block and do what you want is a 12th player. Right. You know what I mean? Like, literally. And I don't know that they have that. And the worrisome part for me is the investment they're going to have to make in Lamar. And then I remember what that looked like after Flacco got money. You know, then it's right, all about him. And then you don't have money for a wide receiver. You don't have money to keep Mark Andrews, and you don't have money to sign a center. You have to let Ryan Jensen and Kelechi Assembly and Wag, you know, all those guys go. And then you say, whoa, we're out here playing without an offensive line. Okay. You know, Marshall Yanda, not be damned, but I think the center position is something that they're going to have to really seriously look at as something that really went wrong and consistently went wrong. And that until they get that right, I remember what a benefit Matt Burke was to Joe Flacco and what Gino Gradkowski and everything after that looked like.
Right. Oh, there's no question. I think the signing of Ronnie Stanley, that shocked me a little bit when they did it. But maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's a sign of like, hey, we know this guy is a pretty good pass protector. We know that he's a top-notch left tackle. We're going to lock him up because we're going to – Their plan is already in place. And that's why I told my son, it's like, look, I guarantee you, they already know what they want to do, right? Like, if you put truth serum in Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, they already know. They knew weeks ago what this offseason was going to look like. So this is not new to them. I just can't wait to see what they do.
Well, I would be absolutely shocked if they move off of Lamar. You know, and I'm not saying that as a conspiracy guy. I think they're going to give Lamar a lot of money. I think they're going to build around him. And I think 5 years from now, they're going to look up and give me, you, and anybody else a middle finger if they win. And if they don't, they're going to say, hey, we tried to do it a different way, but we went all in on this way. And I think they go to bed at night really believing in Lamar. I've not had any, but giving Lamar a lot of money, they're just going to have to do this. They can't go and do it the way we're talking about with giving centers money and wide receiver, you know, like all of the, they can't have money for everybody. And we haven't even talked about what they're going to try to do to get after the other team's quarterback, which has been a deficiency around here since a long time, right? Like, when, I don't know the last time we really felt like we had a pass rush here that was elite. Mm-hmm. We've been in search of that since Elvis Dumervil, for crying out loud, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You got to go back to Dumervil and Suggs.
And that's a $20 million job.
And that's a hat, and the hat's off the Wink. I mean, they're getting pressure just because of scheme, not because of one-on-one matchups. Not a guy who's going to beat their guy one-on-one. And that's, yeah, that's, I think that defensively, I think Wink's doing a heck of a job. I don't think Greg Roman is doing a heck of a job. And I think if they're going to be all in Lamar, before I would pay him a ton of money, they got to try something different and see if Lamar can do something different. To your point, I think he can. I think he can be a good enough passer that this team can be very successful and win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, just not with the current scheme and the current personnel. So before they give him money, they got to see if he can. And if he can't, look, if they go out and they get Allen Robinson, if they go out and get Kenny Golladay, and they change up the passing scheme and we are one and done or don't make the playoffs because our schedule is brittle next year, and then the questions about Lamar become very real. And you have to make a decision whether or not he's going to be your quarterback of the future. But right now, I just don't see how you judge a guy when he's in a system where you rank 32nd in pass attempts. And that's always been Greg Roman's. That's always been Greg Roman.
That's what they do, though. That is their identity. So you're saying change that up. That's going to involve different kinds of personnel here.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the Rubik's Cube that Eric DaCosta's going to have to figure out. Jeff Moeller is here from Moeller and Gary Realty. You know his dad, Don, from Moeller Baltimore Positive Work. And, of course, Don and I have had a summit with all the Baltimore County executives, including your father, Ted Venatoulis, Dennis Rasmussen. Everybody came on. I mean, this has been an incredible couple of weeks for democracy and all of that. But as we get to the end of the year, I saw a piece about Baltimore, and I think about the Baltimore real estate market as being not so good. I think of the pandemic. I think of the situation with crime. I think of the situation with where we are with businesses and restaurants not being, all of that, right? I thought, what kind of a bloodletting would it be? And then I saw this report, and I thought, is the report like full of crap, or is it too rosy? And I'm like, no, it's pretty, like, I looked at it, because I, believe me, your dad and I get into it all the time about what a poll is and what a report is and who's funding whatever said information comes from, because I got my stink eye ad on that for 35 years. But more houses are selling, and numbers to numbers, it's not nearly as horrific as maybe you would think it would be.
Oh, no. One of the things when this pandemic started, Nestor, I was terrified as an agent. You just don't know what's going to happen. You assume that the market was going to tank, but it did almost the opposite. It turned into almost 2006 with rates being lower. It started out with people thinking that they were going to get great deals on homes. You know, they felt like, oh, this is an opportunity to get a great deal on a great house. But the prices didn't go down. They went up. Rates did drop. And with inventory being low, it became a very competitive real estate market. And there was never a downtime. Usually when you hit the holidays, it gets a little bit slower. That just didn't happen for us this year.
How weird is that? That low inventory is high season. Now that's kind of counterintuitive to itself, right? There are no houses, but business is booming, right? Like that's crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, if you have a listing, you're doing well because they're not staying on the market very well. And if you have a buyer, they got to be aggressive. I mean, look, If you're looking to buy a house right now in a decent area, you're putting a contract in that's that's, you're buying the house as is, you know, I mean, you're removing as many contingencies as you can to stand out among your competition, and you're likely going over list price, and you're doing, you have to have a creative agent to get the deal done. And that's where, you know, hiring a realtor is so important, especially in competitive markets, because you have to know the tricks of the trade, or else you're just going to be going through this cycle where you put a contract on a house, don't get it, put a contract on another house, don't get it. And it's just, it can be demoralizing to a buyer.
Jeff Moeller's there. He's at Moeller & Gary Realty. They're over in Catonsville, but they service the whole community here. And, you know, I don't have you on as often as your dad. I mean, your dad's like sort of at semi-retirement, figuring out democracy. You're out in this crazy market right now trying to say, tell everybody about what you do and where to find you. And just give me a little lay of the land here, because we're about to dive back in. I don't think I had the right realtor 2 years ago, for sure. And I certainly didn't have the right market. You know where I live, right? And you know the views, yep. And you know how beautiful, you know, and safety and like all of those things, parking, all those things that you'd want to have. Give me a little primer for the market as you see it right now from Catonsville all the way around.
Look, I think the market's going to be, it's going to remain hot, and it's going to be hotter, because what you're going to see is you're going to see a little bit more inventory coming on the market starting right about now. Usually people wait till after the holidays, they put all their Christmas, you know, gear away, and they start to get their house prepped for the spring. And with rates being so low and prices, it's really a great time for sellers and buyers. With rates being low, it's a great time to go find that house. You can afford a little bit more. And
what are we getting on rates now? What's the rate?
You're two or three quarters for 30 years, you know, and you're 2.5 for 15 years. So that's incredible. You know, it's incredible. So it's a great time. And if you're, like I said, if you're a seller and you prep your house well, and this is where having a realtor comes in, because we would come in. We would have it professionally staged for you, photography for you, excuse me. We would get you ready to go, Nestor, and you'd be online. A lot of people right now are afraid to go out because of the pandemic, but that's no problem. We have walkthrough videos of houses, and we extensively market all the houses. So people are at their home, clicking through their computer, clicking through Facebook, and they're taking a tour of your house. So. And if you do that correctly, you're going to sell your house fast in this market, and it's going to remain strong. We're kind of in the beginning. We're coming up on that spring market where it's really going to start to take off. It's strong now. It's going to get, I think it's going to get even more competitive as we move forward.
Jeff Moeller's here, Moeller & Gary Realty. You can find them out on the web. And, of course, you can find Jeff's dad, Don, here doing democracy. We had an impeachapalooza this week. Bill Ferguson's coming on this week, Brandon Scott. Hartford County Executive Barry Glassman joining us this week as well. You know, last but not least, I guess, you know, for you is the family life and the pandemic life and the American thing. I know your dad and I are always spatting off on democracy. I follow you out on social media as well. This has been a hell of a thing to witness the last couple of weeks, especially what happened back on January 6th.
Oh, my gosh. We got to find the positives, right? I mean, that's the name of your website and your movement here is Baltimore Positive. And that's really, with everything that's going on, you know, there's a lot to look at, Nestor, and you can get pretty down when you see some people's responses to what went down in our country. But there's also been some more unity, and that's what I try to focus on. And it's not so much party; it's that we can all agree that what happened was disgusting and scary, and just unacceptable. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, you know. The great thing that I see is that the overwhelming majority of Americans disagreed with what went down last week. And that's encouraging. And you hope that, you know, my response to it when I saw it was, hey, this could be one of those moments that changes for the better. And this is a horrific, horrific moment in our history. But this may be the straw that broke the camel's back, where people say, you know what, we've gotten a little bit too crazy. We've gotten a little bit too divisive. If this is where this is taking us, we don't want to go down that path. So let's find a different way. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that cooler minds will prevail. We'll see some more respect on both sides. And
you got kids, man. You got to explain that to your kids, right? That's a whole different thing.
Oh,
man.
Absolutely. It's hard. I mean, it's hard. And they're looking at it. You try to shield them from a little bit of it because you don't want them to get scared. But you can't
shield them. They got a phone, man.
Well, you think, the one does, and we try to explain it to them and say, hey, this is, You know, you don't want to behave this way. You don't want to act this way. This is what happens when anger gets the best of you. So, you know, this is we really try to give them the whole picture and try to give them both sides of the story of why people might be upset and why people aren't so upset. And we try to do that with everything in life. And you know, that's how they grow as individuals. You know, and we just try to do the best we can. And we're not perfect at it. We make a lot of mistakes as parents, for sure. But we do the best we can, especially this is stuff that's going to be in the history books. And they're living through it. So we just want to make sure that they have the right perspective, the positive perspective, and that this helps them grow as individuals moving forward.
Well, heavy week around here with the aftermath. I said to my wife, there's three more football games left. Then what the hell are we going to do? And, you know, Luke's talking spring training and Orioles and all that stuff. And I know you want to get the kids back out there and all of us get the shot in the arm, get the masks off, and, you know, get the immunity where it needs to be. Jeff, take care of yourself, man. I know we'll be getting together a little bit more often here this year as we bring our house to market and you do what you do at Moeller & Gary Realty. And we try to bring, bring some normalcy back. I just sort of miss, like, hanging out in your parents' kitchen, eating leftovers and stuff. You know, I mean, at some point, we'll all get together and do it. Take care of yourself, man. It's great having you on the program.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Esther.
Jeff Moeller, Moeller & Gary Realty. Go get him. You can find him out there at Moeller & Gary Realty. You can find Don here, and you can find all of us together at BaltimorePositive.com.